Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you all, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. As I was in the opening assembly for Sunday school this morning, I am beginning to be convinced more and more that Jimmy Brooks is a prophet. I don't know how he knows what my sermon titles are going to be or what they're going to be about, but inevitably about five or six times a year, his opening assembly message is on the subject of the sermon. And I don't think he talked to you, did he, Aaron, to find out? Because Aaron, I called Aaron contacted Aaron late yesterday morning, and so he didn't even know until then. But it was an excellent opening, and it was about joy. And we're going to talk about joy thieves. What steals the joy from our life? You know, we learn from the prophet Isaiah that Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet we know also that Jesus possessed a deep, irrepressible joy. As he faced the cruel death of Calvary, Jesus spoke the following words to his followers, which comprise our text today. They are the words found in John 15, verse 11. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read this short text, John chapter 15, verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Jesus knew what lay ahead of him. Ahead lay betrayal, desertion, and denial by his disciples. Ahead lay a mock trial, agony and suffering. Ahead lay God's wrath, which poured upon Jesus as he died on the cross for our sins. Yet in our text, when he spoke to the disciples, Jesus expressed hope that they may experience the same joy he experienced and that their joy may be full. What we see in the life of Jesus is an abiding joy. It wasn't a joy that came and went. It was a joy which never left him. In the cheerful, happy times of his life, Jesus had joy. For instance, when the disciples would mature in their process of the walk with him, when Mary bathed his feet with perfume and her hair, when the throngs cheered him as he entered the streets of Jerusalem, Jesus felt joy. And I know what many of you are thinking is, well, it's natural at times like those for a person to be joyful. The joyful times, if you will, of his or her life. But unlike us, Jesus never lost that joy in the bad times. When the disciples bickered like little children, Jesus was joyful. When the disciples lacked faith, Jesus never lost his joy. And when the Pharisees hounded him day after day after day, Jesus still had an abiding joy. Even on the cross, Jesus did not lose his joy. Last week we read Hebrews 12:2, and I want us to look at that again today in the context of our message today. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The same joy that Jesus possessed, he wanted us to know. He said in our text, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. He was talking about the love that he had for us and for his disciples was the same as the love that God had for him. And he wanted us to know that because it brought him joy regardless of the circumstances. And he wanted us to have that joy also and to have it abidingly all the time. Sadly, few of us Christians actually experience this abiding joy on a consistent basis. We live under a cloud of disappointment and negativism when we could be walking in the sunshine of joy. We are up and down on the mountaintop today and in the valley of despair tomorrow. We find such commands in the Bible as be joyful always, as Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. We find that impossible to imagine being a reality in our own life. Well, what robs us of our joy? Why is our joy so dependent upon circumstances? Why are we so up and down like a yo-yo as far as our happiness is concerned? Well, I believe the answer is we lose our joy when we fill up with the wrong fuel in an attempt to satisfy that hunger that we as humans have to be joyful. God has designed us to run on only one type of fuel. And if we attempt to fuel our life with the wrong fuel, then we are headed for meltdown. Depending on the type of fuel with which we fill ourselves, we may break down slowly, or it may be quickly. Yet sooner or later, we shall have problems with remaining joyful. What are the wrong fuels which Christians attempt to fill their tanks? I want us to consider a few wrong fuels this morning, which are joy thieves, which steal the joy from our life, though they may on the surface appear to be what we need to be joyful. One fuel we use to fill our tanks in an attempt to attain joy is people. If relationships and people are used to keep our motor running, to keep our life happy, then we are in for spiritual trouble. True, we can get quite a bit of mileage out of people. However, God never intended for our ultimate happiness to be obtained from relationships with people. Most of us have a belief that the source of our joy would be people. Our lives would be so much happier. They would be the source of our happiness and strength. Yet Nehemiah tells us, as Jimmy read this morning, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The wrong focus on people as fuel for our joy shows up frequently in marriage. Take, for example, the woman who all of her life dreams of the man of her dreams. She begins with an unrealistic view of her marriage, and she sets a standard for her husband that he could never hope to reach. Not long into the marriage, she discovers that her husband in many ways cannot and maybe will not cooperate with her expectations. The relationship she thought would fuel her joy brings her frustration, hurt feelings, contempt and disappointment. What's wrong? She's using the wrong fuel to bring her happiness. Eventually, she seeks an alternative fuel for her joy. She convinces herself that the pitter-patter of children around the house is what she needs to keep her life running joyfully. But too late, she discovers that rather than being a good, high-octane fuel on which she can run a joyful engine all the time, she realizes that kids have an amazing capacity to drain the joy from one's life, to put water and sugar in the tank, so to speak. And if any of you know about gasoline engines, that certainly damages the engine as it attempts to run. Soon, her engine breaks down, and although children can bring lots of joy, and they do bring lots of joy, they can also drain the joy from your life if you are counting on them to be the sole fuel for your happiness and joy. You know, men have the same problem attempting to find joy by using the wrong fuel in a marriage. A man dreams of marrying the perfect wife, and each day she will comment on how gifted he is as a husband and a lover. And she will prepare delicious meals every night, and she will welcome his advances, even though she may have dealt with rambunctious kids all day or worked all day at a job. She'll love sports and will watch sports with him every Saturday all day long. But unfortunately, he soon discovers that she is not the right fuel to keep his joy from fading. It seems like she is sneaking water and sugar into the engine ever so often. Husband and wives are not the only ones who rely upon relationships and people to fill their tank in order for them to have joy. Christians in the church often feel that they have lost their joy when church mentors and leaders that they admire succumb to temptation and are prone to failure, just like everyone else. The problem is the wrong fuel is being used in an attempt to attain happiness. You know, another fuel that we use to fill our tanks in an effort to attain happiness is places. People hope a location or a special place can fill up their tanks and make them feel joyful and fulfilled for the rest of their days. For instance, many people believe if they buy that dream house, then they will be happy ever after. You know, the old picket fence story and, you know, the sun setting in the background and the little bluebird sitting on the birdhouse, and everyone lives happily ever after. Now, there's nothing wrong with owning a house. There's nothing wrong with enjoying a house and taking joy from having a nice home or having the home that you desire. But expecting a house to bring you lasting joy is like taking a snapshot of a sunset. The picture never really captures the beauty that you beheld right before the picture was taken. Well, what happens? Once you buy the house, then the payments begin. And there may be a need for extra working hours or a part-time job in order to earn the money to make the payments. And then spouse and children start complaining because you are never at home with them. Then the garage door breaks, the roof leaks, the faucet leaks, the furnace breaks down in the middle of January during an ice storm. And then spring comes and you got to spread grass seed and fertilizer on the lawn and on ad infinitum. Soon our joy is gone because looking for a place to fulfill us is trying to run our engines on the wrong fuel. Buying a home can be a wise investment, and in most cases it is, but if we are purchasing a home thinking that it'll be our source for joy for the rest of our lives, we are in for trouble. We may believe that moving to a new location is the fuel we need to make us happy. I've heard of people, you know, who lived in, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin and Illinois, you know, man, they just want to move to Florida. You know, it's always sunny, 72 degrees. They move to Florida and guess what? They have bills to pay. You know, their sicknesses, their illnesses. They have to go to the doctor. You know, remember that the grass always looks greener on the other side of that fence. We experience the same problems when we look for a location for our source of happiness. We are using the wrong fuel. A third fuel that we use to attempt to fill our tanks to obtain joy is possessions. Well, if people and places cannot provide us joy, perhaps we would be happy if we owned more things or stuff. However, we learn that attempting to achieve sustained joy from stuff is like trying to make a meal from cotton candy. Boy, it's delicious, and you know, you eat it and then you're still hungry and want something else. We can travel quite a distance on possessions, but they are also the wrong fuel. Jesus tells us this in, as recorded by Dr. Luke in chapter 12, verse 15. Watch out, Jesus said. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Possessions bring problems because they rob us of our joy. Are we happy because we just bought the latest, greatest, most up-to-date, all the bells and whistles, smartphone or computer? Well, next month you're going to see one that's faster, cheaper, and got more power than you ever thought in less than 30 or 60 days. We are using the wrong fuel to fill our tanks for joy. And the final fuel that I want us to look at that is the wrong fuel that we try to use to obtain joy, and that is position. Work, acceptance, promotions, benefit, status, prestige, reputation are all the rewards of position. And over again, we read of people who are at the apex of their field or career path. I think it was Saturday or Friday on the front page of the Times Dispatch, there was an article about a woman who was considered one of the 30 most powerful women in the advertising field. And the reason that drew my attention mainly was it was on the front page, but it talked about the Martin Agency, and our son-in-law, Adam, works for the Martin Agency. So I read it, and she had two children, and she did all these things, and, you know, she'd get them off to school, and then she's on a flight to New York to talk to a Fortune 500 company and pitch an ad. You know, she was very, very successful, and I wish her well, and I hope she is happy in her career. But time and time again, we learn that once someone reaches the top, they realize how empty they really are. That their tank has no fuel to give them joy. What was required for them to reach their goal? Many times it's neglected family, hurt children, wounded spouses. And certainly, they are not ingredients for living a happy and sustained, joyful life. The reason each of these thieves, people, places, possession, position, so often cause us to lose the joy is because they are the wrong fuel, as I have mentioned throughout this message. God created us. He gave us an owner's manual called the Bible, and it instructs us everything we need to know how to operate properly and how to have sustained, abiding joy in our lives. Do you seek peace in your life? Read the owner's manual. Do you seek fulfillment? Read the owner's manual. Do you seek meaning and purpose? Read the owner's manual. Do you seek joy, full, sustained, abiding joy, which remains even in the time of trials and difficulties? Read the owner's manual. Read the Bible. The answers are there. In our owner's manual, God tells us that we are designed to run on one and only one fuel while we're here on this earth, and that is Him. And if we attempt to find joy and happiness and fulfillment from any of those things we mentioned, then our joy will always be temporary because the source of that joy is temporary. It's here today and can be gone in 6 years or 6 days or 6 hours. But God is eternal. God will never fail us. He never changes. So if our joy is based upon any of these temporal things that we reviewed this morning, then our joy becomes dependent upon the disposition of and condition of a person, place, or thing. But if our focus is on God, God is the source of our joy. And if God is the source of our joy and our satisfaction, then we shall run the way God designed us to run, to have joy in our lives, regardless of the circumstances. Are we going to have pain and suffering and heartache and heartbreak? Yes. But if God is the source, if God is the fuel for our life, we will have joy even during those times. We shall run the way God designed us to run if we use the correct fuel. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, "You have made known to me," talking about God, "you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." If you are here today and you are not a believer, you are lost, you are not saved, then I hope you will take this opportunity to think about letting God come to your life, come into your life, and give you a sustaining, abiding joy to get you over the hurdles, to get you over the rough spots. And you do that by confessing your sin, asking for repentance, and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you have done that, if you've made that decision here today, we would love for you to share it with us. We invite you to come forward as we sing a hymn of invitation. And those of you who are believers, if you are saved, give your expectations for your life to the Lord. Turn from anything which has stolen your joy away from your heart, away from the Lord and your joy, and make Him again the source of your joy. But we invite those who need to accept Christ and who have done so to come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 325, "Whiter Than Snow."